fixing to die of thirst, when suddenly he saw a pump in the middle of the floor. He ran over to that pump and he began to pump it. And he pumped and he pumped and he pumped and nothing came out. In his distress, he began to look around the shack. And in this cabin, as he looked, there was a jug. And he ran over to that jug and he found it to be a jug full of water. A little note attached to the side of it. The note said, use all of this to prime the pump. Fill it back up when you're through and replace it here on the shelf. Fixing to die of thirst. I mean, he started to question, now wait a minute, this is an old pump. This shack is about to fall down. I'm fixing to die of thirst. Here's a jug full of water. Do I drink it? Or do I trust this information? Do I trust this note? I don't know how long this jug's been here. I'm not sure how long this pump has been here. There may not be any water left in this pump. Well, he finally made his decision. And he went over and he poured all of that water into the pump. And he began by grabbing the handle and pumping, and he heard a squish, 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 squish. A few drops came out. And squish, squish, squish. And as that pump was being primed, suddenly, cool, fresh water flowed from the pump. He, of course, drank, and drank some more, and drank again. And filled the jug back up and put it back up on the shelf and attached an additional note to it stating that the information was true. You know, if we don't put something into it, we won't get anything out. And you won't get anything out of your Christian life unless you have faith. It's impossible to please God. I stated that this morning from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The faith factor is vital, it's important, it's foundational. Without faith, we cannot serve God. We cannot live the Christian life. The method of which we live the Christian life is we use these different elements, these different things that God has given us and that enables us to live as He lived, to do as He did, to be what He wants us to be. And one of those things, one of those elements that we must have in our Christian walk is a walk of faith. We must trust Him. You can't have fellowship with the Lord unless you trust Him. You'll never be saved unless you trust Him. The Bible says it's by grace through faith that we're saved, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. Without faith, you cannot be saved. And without faith, you cannot live the Christian life. Christianity continues by faith. The continuation of faith up to this present time is a result of some people having faith, trusting in the Lord. The fervency of our Christian life is founded and fostered in a life of faith. Now, the faith factor we noticed in Revelation, we noticed this morning in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, that these, they had not only patience, but they also had faith in Jesus. We notice that Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, the life, this crucified life that I now live, I live by faith. By faith I live this life. He said, the flesh, he said, I live now in the flesh a life of faith in the Son of God. And we too need to live a life of faith. The Spirit-filled life is a life of faith. We noticed this morning in Hebrews chapter 11,
that faith contains two important elements. It's best defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, where it says in the King James that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It talks about in that particular passage that faith is being sure and certain. Being sure of things hoped for and being certain of some things not seen. Surety and certainty are two things a Christian must have in order to have a Christian life that pleases the Lord. What did it say in verse 6? Without it, you don't please the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, unless we have faith, we cannot please the Lord. So it's essential. It's primary. It's pivotal. It's important that we live and have a life of faith. We notice that these men in the 11th chapter in the hall of faith, the way that they did that is they clung to and they held to the promises of God. Look there just for a moment in the book of Hebrews. How that it states that Abraham, here's a wonderful passage of scripture where it states that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Notice in verse 11 how that he was I'll read it for you. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We notice that all of these men in this hall of faith were clinging to and holding to a promise. A promise. Promise, the promise of God and the faith that we have run consistent. They were trusting in the promises of God. I believe it's in the book of Romans where it says, or the book of Galatians that it says that, no, it's in the book of Romans, where that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Romans, I believe, chapter 4. There we read in verse 20, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, I mentioned a little earlier in verse 19 that Abraham was not weak in faith, but that Abraham was strong in faith. We did a little survey after the service today, and we evaluated whether we were strong or weak in faith. We did it on a scale of 1 to 10, whether we were strong or whether we are weak. The average of the 83 that participated was about 4.2 on a scale to 1 to 10. So there's room for us to grow in our faith. If you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, you'll grow in faith. Our faith needs to grow and our faith needs to expand. We need a greater degree of faith. Now let me make you mindful of something. First of all, faith is not a power we tap into. Faith isn't a lasso that we slip around the neck of God and make Him do what we want Him to do. All right? Faith is not a button we push to get God's attention. Faith is confidence and assurance in what God is going to do. What God has promised that He would do. If you really have faith, you'll have confidence in the promises of God. Now, one of the ways that we can increase our faith and make our faith stronger, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment, is to know those promises. I mentioned this morning, one of the ways that we come to know the promises of God is by studying the Scriptures. If we'll study the Scriptures, our faith will grow. You ask Brother Ricky or some of these others who have started a life of ministry and their involvement and their engagement in the Word of God and how it has increased and strengthened their faith. Listen, the more you read Scripture and read and study the promises of God, the stronger you'll become in your faith. We have to know the promises before we can actually grow in faith. Prayer. I mentioned prayer this morning. Our fellowship grows stronger. But you know, there's some promises that God gave me through prayer that aren't found in the Word. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those are sometimes the most trying and testing promises of our faith. Huh? The times the Lord has led us to do something our fellowship and union with Him, things that we are that are revealed to us in and through prayer. Listen, God talks back. Yeah, when we pray. And we have this confidence He hears us. Not only He hears us when we pray, but He answers us when we pray. He can show us the way. He can guide our steps. He can give us a direction and wisdom and understanding on what we need to do individually as Christians. How did you know to join this church? Huh? The Lord led you here, didn't He? If He didn't, you shouldn't be here. There are things that are revealed to us. We have to follow Him by faith. Faith is what unites us with God and ultimately reveals to us Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, where that it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto you wisdom." See, we understand wisdom and what else? Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. These things are revealed to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the power of God unto us. It breaks the power of sin. He's the one that breaks that broke the chains of death. And He will deliver us not only from the chains of sin, but also the clutches of death. Do you believe that tonight? How sure are you of the resurrection of the dead? Do you have that confidence that one day, though the skin worms devour this old body, yet in your flesh you'll see God? Yes. Christians have always had faith in the promises. Jesus said, "I go away, but I will doubtless come again to receive you unto myself." Do you believe Jesus is coming back? Ah, yes. It's more than just presumption. It is a confident assurance that we have of things that Jesus has promised us that He will do. And my friend, He's going to do them. As Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, it goes on in that fourth chapter of the book of Romans and tells us that he was persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight? That what God has promised, He is able to perform. But see, God has promised us some things that He would do for us in this life. Those are the promises that we're having a difficult time implementing into our Christian life. The integration of the promises that He has given us to live the Christian life. Yes, we believe those strong, firm, foundational promises of Christianity concerning the second coming of the Lord or the resurrection of the dead or the final judgment or an eternal hell and an eternal heaven. We believe all that. But what about those that apply to you here and now? Hasn't Christ made some promises to us regarding us doing His will here and now? Listen, there's a grace that'll help us live the kind of lives we're supposed to be living. He's promised to help us. He left some special, precious promises to the church, didn't He? Huh? That He would help us and enable us to preach this gospel. See, true faith is a working faith. True faith is a working faith. And true faith conforms to the will of Christ. When you have faith in God, your life will be conformed to the will of Christ. His will for your life. Now there are some things that God wants us to do. There's a way that He wants us to live. And faith forms that in our lives. Faith is the first living cell from which the fruits of Christian life spring. Here in this passage, and I'll go ahead and read our reading lesson found in 2 Peter. And let's start there. In chapter 2, I want you to notice at least one important thing. I'm going to begin in verse 4 just because it first begins before it talks about adding some things to your faith. It begins to talk about the promises, the precious promises of God. There's a connection between the promises of God and our faith. We need to be aware of that. these men and women of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they were sure of some things. They were certain of some things. Because each one of them had received a promise from God. They were confident that God would do exactly what He said He was going to do. There in that in Romans chapter 4, where it talked about Abraham staggered not. He was a man of old age. He was told he was going to have a son. The Bible says that his body was dead. Not he wasn't physically dead, but he was not able, incapable of having children. But he believed in spite of what he saw. He believed in spite of the circumstances. He believed God was going to do exactly what he said was he was going to do, even if it seemed impossible. Yes, he believed the promises of God in spite of the circumstances that he found himself in. And God will help you believe those promises. And your faith will grow, be increased when it's grounded in the promises of God. So faith then is a confidence in the promises of God, as I've already stated. A confidence that God is going to do what He promised He said He's going to do. That's not hard, is it? So, we're going to live a life of faith. Well, that requires us knowing those promises, applying them to our lives. There's a lot of people today that they really don't have faith. They have blind presumption. To believe He will do something He has not promised is blind presumption. To believe something that He has not promised He's going to do is blind presumption. And I pray that you don't find yourself living that kind of life of faith. Why don't we have more faith? I think there's two reasons. One is we have some poor teaching. And another one is people are just not willing to give up control. You will never be able to live the Christian life as it's meant to be lived unless you give up control of your life. You got to give up the control. And as long as you want to be in control, you'll never live a life of faith. You have to give up control. You know, most people today, Christianity today tries to use faith like they use a vending machine. You know, they want to put in some faith and they want to pull a lever and they want shooting out the bottom what they expect God to give them. And you're going to get disillusioned and disappointed if you approach your Christian life in that way. Faith is not an escape hatch for all the tribulations and trials of life. It's confidence. It's assurance that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. But faith never knows where it's being led. But it loves and knows the one who's doing the leading. Notice in these passages, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Who were they given to? They were given to us. We have been given exceeding great and precious promises. Wow, isn't that wonderful? And by these, by what? These what? These promises, these exceeding great and precious promises, by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, if you will conform your life, if you'll have faith in the promises of God, you'll be changed, your nature will be changed, you'll become more divine and you'll become more like Christ. Now let me say this. If you are not more like Christ today than you were 10 years ago, there's something wrong with the growth of your faith. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, And being thus given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things are in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I have just about 10 minutes left. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, Paul said this to the people of Thessalonica. He said this, "Brethren, as it is meet, I give thanks unto God because of your faith, because your faith groweth exceedingly." Your faith groweth exceedingly. The question is tonight, how do Christians grow in faith? How do Christians grow in faith? I believe one of the ways our faith grows is just by the natural process of things. You know, you take a seed of corn and you put it in the ground and you bury it. I used to do this when I was young. I used to grow watermelons. I was a kid. Man, I loved watermelons. And I would buy me a package of seed or I would get some from the summer that we had watermelons, and I'd take them out there beside of the garage, and I'd dig me a little hole, you know, and I'd put that seed in there, and it just naturally grew watermelons. I didn't do that much to it. The natural process. It was provided the nutrients, it was provided the rain or the water and the sun, and it grew. I took a live seed, I planted it in the ground, and just by the natural process of life, it grew. But you know, if I would have taken a nut off or a bolt off of my bicycle, and I would have taken that piece of metal, that nut or that bolt, and went out there and buried it beside the garage, would it have grown? Huh? Would anything shot forth? Would I have had, you know, any kind of fruit from that? No, it wouldn't have. And listen, if you've been a Christian for 20 years, and there has been no growth in your faith, you need to check to see if you really have the new life in you, because faith is a life force. It is a life force. And once it's in your heart, it's a natural process. When you trust in Jesus, you will grow. You might not grow very rapidly, but there'll be some growth there if you're really saved. Because the new life is in you, the children of God should increase and grow, but the faith that's in us will automatically grow because it is of God. The Bible teaches us that faith is a life force. But Christians must have a visible and a personal growth in their faith. The personal is something that's more secretive. It's the kind of fruit that grows underground. When I would go down to help my uncle on the farm, my cousins and I would have to go out and we'd have to dig up potatoes. I hated that, but you know it was the potato would grow underground. You couldn't see it. You didn't know that it was that there were all these potatoes down there underneath that soil unless you went out there and dug them up. And there has to be some personal, secretive fellowship with the Lord that your faith might grow. It's not all visible. It's not all just fluff and zeal and what you see. There has to be an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be some secretive, personal, individual growth. It happens in your soul as well. Now there are certain circumstances that cause our faith to grow. We have to exercise our faith in order for it to grow. I've learned through the years that if I take my arm and if I grab a dumbbell and I lift it, and I go back to that and I do that lifting some more, and I go back and do that lifting some more, my arm grows. I've also learned since I've been in the hospital and been made to lay flat on my back for a week that if you don't exercise, you'll lose it. You know, if you quit using your arm, if you tied it to your chest and you didn't use your arm for a long period of time, you'd get to the point where you couldn't use it. And the same goes with your faith. If you don't exercise your faith in Jesus Christ regularly, you'll lose the stamina and you'll lose the strength of your faith.
Yeah.
The faith and strength that you had yesterday will not do for today. You have to have a fresh strength and a fresh exercise of that faith in order to face the things of tomorrow.
We spend too much time depending on the faith that we had 20 years ago to get us through circumstances and trials and tribulations of today.
And it won't work. You're going to have to exercise faith today in Jesus Christ to get you through the trials and tribulations of today.
Well, Christians also grow in faith with a holy walk. Listen, when you live with Jesus, you get to know Him better. The more you get to know Him, the more you'll trust Him.
Yes. Our faith will grow stronger and stronger as we get to know more and more about Jesus. Reading about Him, having fellowship with Him, talking with Him, spending time with Him, cherishing Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. All of these things add up to having more faith in Him.
Because through all those things, you get to know Him better. But let me warn you, sin is the most injurious thing to your faith. One man once said one time, either sinning will kill our assurance, or our assurance will kill our sinning. That's the way it works.
Sinning will kill your assurance, but if you have assurance, it'll kill your sinning.
You ever had a rock in your shoe? Huh? How annoying that is? Oh, come on. You know how difficult it is to walk around with that thing? You don't walk long with that pebble in your shoe. You stop and you take your shoe off and you get it out. And that's the way sin is to our faith. It's an annoyance. We can't keep sinning and maintain a faith walk. You ever had a splinter? Huh? You ever had a splinter? You ever had one get infected? You know, you don't get a thing out eventually, you could lose your finger. They might even have to cut off your hand because of a little bitty wooden splinter. Listen, the small sins will hurt us. They'll hurt your faith. Don't let the devil tell you something different. All right? Devil will tell you those little ones you can get away with. They won't hurt your Christian life. They won't hurt your faith. I'm telling you, they will. It's the small foxes many times that destroy the crops.
Let me share something. We can have a growing faith if we have a more diligent concern for the gospel and the Word of God. If we prayed more, we had more meditation upon Scripture. This heavenly birth we receive needs heavenly warmth. You're going to have to hook up with heaven to get your faith to grow.
It has to have a little of that heavenly sunlight. Our faith grows many times during tribulation and times of trouble. You ever had a trial or tribulation where it just drives you to your knees? Huh? Yeah. I want to share something. I'm about through. I know most of you think the purpose of prayer is to change God's mind, but it's not. The primary purpose of prayer is to change you. If you'll ever get a hold of that, it'll transform your prayer life. That's what happened in the garden when Jesus prayed. He got to the point where He said, not what I want, but what You want, God. I'm ready to surrender. I'm trusting in You. I want what You want. You know, the more the wind blows, the firmer an oak tree will stand because its roots will grip the soil that much stronger. And Christians ought to be like oak trees. The more the wind blows, the stronger we are in God. March winds and April showers bring May flowers. And you as a Christian, you must have stormy times and rainy days to ever produce spiritual fruit unto God.
Adversity many times shapes our faith and makes it stronger. Do you know about that? Yeah. Adversity shapes us many times for more troublesome times that lie ahead. See, it becomes accumulative. When I come to the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. I look back over my life, the many times the Lord has delivered me and been with me and strengthened me and helped me and given me grace. The many times that He has held me through trials and tribulations and how that I was able to bear them and rise up above them. And when I go through the most difficult time of my life, I assure you, He won't forsake me then. He'll also be there. Yes. Let me point out some of the marks and evidence of growth. First, let me say we need growing, not swelling. In my ministry, I've met a lot of Christians that have the big head. That's not a good thing, people. I remember when Jason, when he was just born, he'd just been born, and not the Jason here, Jason, Indiana, and went to the hospital, and his head was larger than it was supposed to be. There was a swelling portion in the upper part of his head, and it was deformed. It was odd looking. It wasn't right. You could tell that there's something wrong with swelling. And you know, a lot of people think that if they're swelling, they're growing in their faith. Just because your head gets bigger don't mean you're growing in your faith. That was abnormal. That was disease that had set up in that little boy's brain. Disease, not growth. And if you ever see your child with a big head, it may be evidence of disease, a sign of sickness, not health. And there's a lot of people, they just think they know too much. There's a lot of people unteachable. It makes it hard as a pastor. I am confident that if Jesus Christ was here, that we'd have some Christians and some preachers. They'd say, Jesus, sit down, let me teach you a few things. They would. Man, we're supposed to be children that want to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. Amen? Yeah, that's the way your faith grows. You want to sit at the feet of Jesus, not sit Him down and teach Him a thing or two. That's not growth, that's swelling. True growth is when Christ becomes increasingly more precious to you. He's more precious than He was at the first. That's how you can detect that your faith is growing. He's more precious to you now than He was yesterday, or a month ago, or a year ago. I don't know what I'd do without Jesus tonight. But I'm convinced that's the best thermometer to check your spiritual temperature. Whether or not Jesus is more precious to you than He was before. I love that old song, He grows more precious to me. His face I long to see. When we grow in faith, we'll grow in likeness of Him. Not only will He grow more precious, but we will become more like Him. Are you more like Christ than you were a year ago? Maybe your faith's not growing. Another evidence of a growing faith, as I've already mentioned, is that the promises of God become consoling to you. You know, a little child will be scared of the storm. There's been times my kids, when they were small, here they'd come down the hall, boom, jump in bed. You know, I heard something outside. It's lightning or something. Their children are tossed to and fro with every little the slightness of wind. They're afraid. But adults don't get afraid at a thunderstorm. I mean, you know, and it's lightning out, or we hear the big bang. It doesn't disturb us or frighten us. Why? Because we're mature. And that's the way it is with your faith. We're not easily shaken when we have a strong faith in God. We believe that God is in control, just like my great aunt. Ultimately, yes, he's going to die, but God's in control of it, and I am safe in that, and I take consolation in that. I tell you, when you rest on the rock of ages, you can rest. When you stand on Jesus, you can stand. We don't become, moved, tossed about, or scared. We're grown in our faith. And you take someone who's been on a ship through a storm several times. You take like Brother Jimmy here, who's been in burning buildings where there was fire, and went in fire houses where there was fire. He's not as afraid of that as you would be or me. You know why? Why? He's a fireman. And he's strong in what he's doing. He has confidence in the equipment. I wouldn't have confidence in the equipment. I'm not putting him to the test. I'm not sure that big old hat he wears would save my head. Or that jacket would keep the fire from burning my flesh. I'm not real sure. But he has confidence. His faith is strong in those things and his abilities. And he doesn't get as disturbed about fire as I do. If I see fire, I run. I don't run to it. I run away from it. But he runs to it. When we have been through the fire will not frighten us as much. Amen? And I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that Christians, their faith is tried with fire. And through that fire, we become strong. Through those experiences, we get stronger, not weaker. The more your faith is tried and the more it's put to the test, the stronger and pure Christian life you'll have. Just like the gold that's tried in the fire. Well, I need to close. Let me just finish in saying this. The only way you can quench the fiery darts of the devil is to use the shield of faith. When Satan comes after you and hurling those darts at you, you better have some faith or they will hurt you. And I see Christians wounded on the battlefield all around me. And you know what they don't have up? You know what they're not using? You know why they're laying wounded in their Christian life? You know why those darts have penetrated them, disabled them in the work of the Lord? They didn't use the shield of faith. God have mercy. God help us to keep the faith. If you'll stand, be dismissed. I appreciate your attention. God bless you.